And yeah, when they were Sid.
Yeah.
Poor Greg Duffel. Where's Greg? Why doesn't Greg pay attention to this? I mean, I should demand the McLuhanites. Hold them hostage. Okay, you fuckers, Alex and everybody, you listen to this.
Yeah.
Now you tell me what's going on.
I think a lot of people will be scared of engaging something that knows everything.
Yeah, like, I guess they would be.
Like everybody has their secrets
The only secret I had was how fucking ridiculous I was. And I had exposed all that.
No,
yeah. There is a point where when one sees that it doesn't matter, you know, there are things that are more important, that all these things are really not important.
Yep. All these things one protects. But see, the reason you protect is the others you're involved with don't agree with that. They don't know that. They don't accept that. So you actually are always covering for other people. You're protecting them. If you start not protecting them, then you're dropped pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So, yes, well, let's meditate on that. And Matthew Rose, he's listening or something. Meditate on what you're hearing. Ion is going on real fast. Nelson's pretty good at keeping up with him, even though, you know, I don't know how far he's gotten yet. He'll get a little further. But the way Ion is so knowing about everything that's going on, and the rules of geometry and how he's going in the wrong directions and the radians versus the degrees, you know, maybe someone who is a geometry expert, you could say, oh, that guy is really, you know, he's a math professor. But that math professor then explained radiation. And,
right.
Isn't it interesting how...
What?
For some people, they may say everything like really clear, like maybe for Caroline.
Yes.
But in my case, they just give me like hints. But I have to discover the thing myself.
That's right. Because you're not in direct, at this point, you're not in direct employ. You're not in stern employ with Ion like Carolyn is. She's in stern employ. So Ion, you know, is straight with her because things have to be done. They don't know what you want to do. Well, they might know, but on the conventional level, you don't know what you're going to do. They don't know what you're going to do. So they're covering a lot more potential. You know, LaRouche defines truth as potential. That's a pretty good definition. What is the truth? It's potential. Truth is potential.
I don't know why, but there are like different types of giving you, like maybe you have to be aware of the environment or everywhere. It may be a video, it might be something you see, it might be somebody says.
Yeah. Yeah, he makes you aware of all things going on around you.
Yeah, so they just give me like a hint. And
but see, that's the way your mind, you like to study and research and verify and validate. Other people get told something and then they just don't look into it. They accept what it is and maybe they do something with it. You have to analyze. You have to figure it out. You like to quest it. Like, you listen to Ion, but you still listen to all kinds of other shows, French Radio Net. You're always processing information.
Yeah, but it's also interesting to, like, to see what things are, you know, like things in the economy now.
Yeah.
Because it's like I have another understanding of the economy, of how the economy is really linked to the medias. What we call currencies depends on like fiat money will not be possible without the printing press, or the virtual economy that we have now that is only digits will not be possible if we don't have computers.
Right.
Because the money doesn't exist. So there is this relationship with the media, the economy, and how the economy reflects what's going on and where we are at. But before, I didn't have this understanding of McLuhan.
Right.
So that I was not interested in economy. But now it's like I can link it.
So you're listening to a lot more things because you're more interested in things because you have a different way of containing them and learning and interpreting and countering.
Yes, like what's going on with Trump, with the Outer Kingdom fake news.
Yeah.
You know, what we are, they report about these caravans and all these opium wars
yeah.
in America and in Mexico. All these, today, Tony Blair said the Mexicans shouldn't make, like, popular consultations because there was a popular consultation about a new airport.
Yeah.
Mm. And the people decided they don't want the airport because they wanted to make it in a place that was, it is a lake, like the last part of the big lake that was Mexico City.
Yeah.
And they want to make a building on a lake. It's like weird. Like,
yeah.
Why do they want to destroy that?
And the people voted it down?
Yes, but the investors, the richer people, are saying that's not constitutional. That's not,
right.
And Tony Blair is saying in Mexico that people shouldn't be consulted.
And Tony Blair is an elitist. He's an elitist.
But he's like, what the fuck is Tony Blair doing in Mexico now saying that?
It's right.
Like, yeah.
Aha, La Roche is right.
Yeah.
What the fuck is he doing there?
Yeah, he's part of the global oligarchy. They always said that about him.
Yes, but if you don't know what La Roche is saying, it's like you may think Tony Blair is just like visiting Mexico.
And giving some friendly advice.
Yeah, and just commenting on whatever is going on. But, so it's like having this hidden ground information makes you explore these things from a different viewpoint and makes the whole absurd reality we're filming in our 200 castles movie.
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, you know, Ian also may be using you as a metaphor for something. You do take their hints, and within a week or so you find out stuff, and then you make a video or you bring it in, the imagery. They knew you'd do that, so they're using your natural instincts to demonstrate something about how to relate to non-physical. So they might, if you had a private session, tell you straight a lot of stuff. But in public, on the show, they use you as a metaphor, just like they use Bert for the physical metaphor.
You know, I just heard something 2 weeks ago where they were telling me that I stupidly followed everything that they told me, and it worked.
They told you? They said you blindly followed, and it worked, and you had no clue what you were doing, is what they said. Is that what you're saying? What happened?
Hello?
Jesus Christ. People keep dropping off.
I didn't find that funny.
Yeah. You fuck with Ian. Let's see. Well, he'll have to call back in. Let's see how quickly that happens. Yes, it's still showing him disconnected, but not completely disconnected. So, do you get what I'm saying about you, though? The way they appear to interact with you does not mean it's going to be permanent. Doesn't mean they'll always be that way with you.
Yes, and I'm like impressed because it's been going on like for a while. Like we just found this chimney on another castle that has like an Ark of the Covenant with the face of upside down.
Which is the portaler coming in upside down. Where is that castle? I don't know if I ever got that clear.
Oh, I forgot.
Is it on the Loire Valley River?
No, I think it's upper north in France.
Oh, a whole different
area. Not that far away. There are many. There are other castles that have information.
But that image?
That are not all in the in La Loire.
Yeah, but they have that image? Or is that unique, that castle?
I haven't seen that anywhere else. But
is it near Alsace-Lorraine?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, Bert was back.
I'm going to look for the name because I forgot.
So, Bert, what was the last word you heard I was saying to you?
You asked me what happened, and then that's when I tried to respond. No, but they told me, what they told me is that I stupidly followed everything they told me, like what they were telling me to do as far as weight training, the body weight exercises, and eating the protein. And they said that I stupidly followed them, and everything worked out all right.
Why did they say stupidly?
Because I just took... But I wrote whatever they told me, and I did it. I didn't question it. I just did it.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. But they just made it jokingly. They said you stupidly followed everything that we told you.
Yeah, they could have told you to kill yourself, and you might have done it. So while that's a good caution, while they tell you stuff, they will point out to you that in the long run, you don't need to rely on them, or you shouldn't follow them blindly.
Right.
They're including that future understanding in the present statement.
And that's what's amazing about always going over everything in the archive, because I'm noticing that my perspective is different, and I'm hearing other subtle clues that they give everyone or everything, every subject that they cover. Just like when you hear that. When Nelson's engaging Ion at this point is giving them little subtle clues for him to adjust his perspective in the whole 4X.
Yeah, and also in larger in his life. He told them, you are going to have to go stealth when you get really good at this.
Yeah.
Now, I don't remember... But it's going to be interesting when we finish with Nelson. I'm then going to play Chad's sessions. And I'm interested in what they told Chad and what sequence.
Well, yeah. I heard this week that Ion complimented Chad on his triangulation abilities.
Yes. You mean you heard in passing in some of the archives?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Chad was number one. He is number one, you know.
Yes, he is.
Because he had done stuff like that. He actually knew geometry or trig or something. You know, he knew it.
Yeah.
So are you back, Leslie?
No, I'm still looking because I remember it was something with M.
Yeah. But you're looking while listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Bert... So you're doing LaRouche.
The name of the castle.
LaRouche gives you historical stuff that you know that you didn't know. And,
there's a lot more that I didn't know. I mean, like, I want to go read Dennis Speed's outline about that Jim Crow. I'm totally ignorant on Jim Crow. Totally ignorant on Jim Crow. And how he wound that up was quite interesting. Because he sort of linked it all the way back to what they started off with. It was really a well outlined lecture that they had. Because it was interesting how he ended it, you know. No.
Yeah, well, Jim Crow was a reaction that revitalized or created the KKK to stop the black liberation from 63 to 73, 10-year period. Once Lincoln had taken off the shackles, they were able to run for politics, and they got into legislatures and things like that, you know?
Yeah, so, but I remember also hearing But I remember also hearing that not only were the KKK promoted against blacks, but also German Americans. I remember hearing that.
Yeah, the KKK was against German Americans.
Yes, yes.
And what was the reason?
That's why I want to go back and read how he outlined that. But I remember hearing that, and I was like, "That's interesting.
Yeah.
I never heard that." No, it's something to go back. I mean, it's good to listen to, but it's amazing how much information they cover in what is it, 3 hours and 52 minutes. And then you look at all these outlines, and I did send you and Roxana the link to all of those PDFs.
Good.
To look at the actual PDF documents, man, it's a lot of information they covered. I mean, it's really worth to go back, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and read just to fill in some of the things that I found interesting they presented. Like I said, the Dennis Speed, that was interesting. It was also funny to hear about Freud and the Frankfurt School. That was quite interesting. That's one of
that was
back
Marxist.
Well.
They were Marxists applying the new Freud.
Yeah. Yeah. And I minored in psychology, so it was interesting to hear, because most people don't know that about Freud. Most.
Right. Do you ever heard of Eric Fromm?
Yes, I have. Eric Fromm. Yes, I do.
Yeah. He came out of the Frankfurt School.
Wow.
See? He was a Freudian. He corresponded with McLuhan a little bit.
Really?
Yeah. You could see them in the letters book.
Bob, is there a way to, I have to figure out, because I
for me to download all my knowledge to you? I'm not sure.
No. Depict the McLuhan letters. I got to find a way. I got to spend some, like, do a project, like those correspondence that you're outlining on the McLuhan site. I got to find a way to download it and enlarge it so I can read it.
Oh, you mean my stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you just, if it's on Facebook, you go to the bottom and it says options.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just
you got the image? You go to your Facebook in the bottom line, and you'll see options, and you click on that, and it gives you different things to do, and that's how it makes. Then you click on it, and then you can enlarge it from that point.
Okay, great. Okay. I just downloaded the file itself, whatever the letter was, and then tried to do it on my PC. So I'll do it from Facebook. Yeah, because I wanted to look at something. Some interesting letters that you're releasing. Like, I wanted to look at what I wanted to download, and then I'm like, I got to figure out another way. Is when you posted McLuhan's schedule.
Yes.
And from what I saw that from as far away, I'm like, wow. And then I tried to do it, and then so I'll go back. I got to go back. Okay, I'll go look at the options and do that option.
And you should try it now. You should go look at it now and see if it works. But the schedule is McLuhan peaking in 66 and Life magazine and all these different people, offering fees for consulting. That's a large part of that. It's his consulting schedule.
Yeah, for one.
So what else is there?
What I wanted to say is that there was something that you did 2-3 weeks ago. Like, there's 5 views from your chart, but there's something about ION that gives us a 6 view. I think you said that on What Youth, and it really does help because it's
what does it give? The 6 what?
The 6 view. ION is the 6 view. I mean, there's 5 views.
The hexatic.
The hexatic. That's really, I mean, listening to ION, and then you can go and engage. Like, I've been dealing with LaRouche for the last 2 weeks. It's really... It gives you a whole different way to look at what he's presenting without being
Who's who? You got to say who he
LaRouche,
is.
LaRouche.
Well, what gives you a whole different way?
ION's view, knowing ION and how ION talked to you and shared with you. Going from that perspective of your private sessions and your engagement with ION, and then when you go in to look at LaRouche's information, you're actually able to absorb it, to understand it, but not be stuck, like, because there's always that option.
Here's the thing. There's probably not one true statement in LaRouche. There were charges against those B'nai B'rith guys with the Lincoln assassination. I don't know where it came, but nobody was found guilty. The thing about LaRouche is he makes history interesting, and he gives you facts
yes.
about things that you ever heard about, but you don't know, you haven't looked in the details. They provide the homework, the Gutenberg details. So it's a way of
yeah.
clearing out erroneous historical images. What they say about different people may not be accurate, but I don't care about that. I just like to know of the people that were involved and what they wrote, what they said. I mean, they're showing you what these people wrote, but they might be taken out of context. I mean, to say that Bertrand Russell is the most evil man of the 20th century, you're not going to get many people agreeing with that. But I find
right.
the idea interesting, and then I look at how it could be true, how there's a case for it, but it's not a truth. I'm basically not looking for truth.
Right.
Not looking for truth. Truth is potential. Truth is the hypothesis of the higher hypothesis, that there's more. And you get more truth from Ion because Ion expresses it comprehensively and erases the idea that truth... He doesn't, Ion is actually telling you truth is potential, and that's ascension, but he never says it like that. He would agree with that for a while, but he is presenting it differently. It's a process of perception. So, it's like LaRouche, Ion is more comprehensive. I could
yes.
see. I could say to Ion, "Well, these B'nai B'rith guys, did they kill Lincoln?" And I would say, "Well, they actually served cover for the people who did it. They were duped. They were framed to look like they did it, but it was other people that actually did it." You see, something like that, Ion could tell you. LaRouche can't tell you that.
Right. That's true. I just find, like what you said, I find it fun to listen to, read and listen to them. It's an alternative view of history instead of the normal public school fantasy what they fed you, but just to read, fill in the lines, because it's like LaRouche fills in the lines of history. Like the history I learned in school I wasn't interested in, but listening to and reading LaRouche fills in the lines. And then to top that off of what your questions that you've got from the Evergreens and Ion fills in more. So it's just like, you know, it's entertaining. Entertaining
right.
education.
Right, and
not
it's,
like
you said, LaRouche, he turns history into spy versus spy and includes
yes.
the culture artifacts in that spy versus spy. That's what's interesting. You know, Leonardo da Vinci's a spy on behalf of some people. That's that's not the imagery you get of art history. So,
right.
very important.
Yeah.
But the if you're part of humanity, then everybody that ever lived is part of your interest. So LaRouche tells me about more people, more names I never heard of. You know, he expands my club membership.
Yes. Yes.
He tells me about people to think about or to notice. You know, there's not. I can go anywhere in the world, and some stranger can come up to me and mention something. I probably have a way to connect with it.
Right. Yes.
Because I know a lot of stuff about a lot of things all over the place. And little man isn't that diverse, so you can communicate to anybody and fit some things that you know to tweak their view. Or to adapt to it. So, I you know, LaRouche is a sophisticated gossip. People magazine. It's a People magazine for aristocrats, for people who are former members of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
The castle is called Chateau de Montel.
Montel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a small Renaissance castle with a lot of sculpture decorations.
It's got a lot of decorations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send post a link for us. You either post it or send it to me, and we can pass it around. I'll put it on my Facebook page. Anyways, wait, do you like that idea? LaRouche is gossip for Illuminati, former members of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's interesting. Yeah. Roxy was in the Illuminati local branch, you know, sub-level, subplot, and so was I. But she was the one being butlered. I was a butler. She was the one getting butlered. She's on the other end of it.
Yeah.
But of course, I ended up in the secret the secret room before Roxy got there. She was too pampered. You should have come back as a butler, so you could have worked your way into the secret stuff, Roxy. But you were too busy being a consumer and a happy producer of art and having a good time. You didn't have enough agony.
Yes, I was waiting to be activated.
Yes. You knew it was coming. It's a total princess attitude. Well, yes, I deserve this. I deserve that. Oh, enlightenment. Oh, that's coming. I deserve that, too. That'll be served up to me.
Yeah. Well, the castle is actually in the south of France somehow. I
miscalculated that one. Is it on the Loire Valley?
Yeah, because it's near a place that is more well-known called Rocamadour. That is also like a very important place where the alchemists
Oh, okay. And what city is that near?
Rocamadour.
No, I don't know that. So what's one that's known? I never heard of Rocamadour. Is that down by the Mediterranean?
I think the Sleeping Beauty was written in a castle that is in that place.
Oh, but like, what is Toulouse down there? Like, what is that near the Mediterranean?
It's easier, I think, if you Google it and see what it is.
Is it near Nice?
Because it's in Occitan.
So, did you give the link? Let's see if.
I can.
You want to say anything, Sean?
Oh, yes, please, Bob. The truth. The truth with the.
What?
Am I still on?
Yes.
Sorry, I disconnected for a minute. Well, there's lots, but the truth being potential, I wanted to say what you taught me there is that's your non-judgment. You don't get stuck on any truth. Of course, you can turn any truth into any potential from viewing
it
from your new...
Those aren't truths. You're talking about ideas as facts. Those are just temporary images. That's not truth.
Yeah, that's what I got. That's the good thing that I have, is that truth isn't a constant. It changes all the time.
No, it's not even that. We don't know what truth is. Truth ain't anything. It's potential.
A potential.
It's another way of more. There's more. It's more, but we don't know it yet. We haven't got there.
Yeah, but and for me, how I see you display it is by not getting stuck in any judgment, and you apply a new view on everything. It's where I said in the previous recording, Bob can let it go, and when he approaches it again, it's from a new angle.
Yeah, I approach again. I don't let it go completely. I'm back arguing or whatever about it.
Yeah, and then another thing that kept on coming through is how in this whole recording how Ian explained about the difference of radiance and degrees.
Yeah.
And if I apply to this truth thing as this constantly changing, I'm going to try
don't
to put
apply
it in the
that.
Right way.
Truth is not constantly changing. It's the thing
okay,
that
I'm
you don't
not
get
even
to.
Use Yes, I'm not even going to use that word.
Yeah, don't use
it. I see this thing where you said I'm being the center point of the 31st parallel. And then somewhere in the recording you said Bob is the highest. And it's this whole radiance, it shows this whole dynamic with I'm being in the middle, which is all of Bob too. Yet if you pull it out, Bob's the highest point of it as well.
Yeah.
It is just absolutely flipped my mind.
Hey, you know, I just realized in my Taino chart, the symbol of nature I have for myself is a mountain. I just realized that now.
Wow.
I don't know why I picked mountain. LaRouche is tree. McLuhan is river. Thompson is sun. And Coker's cloud. And I made myself be mountain. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm on the tallest mountain.
Yeah.
I am the mountain. I'm Billy the Mountain, as Zappa described. That's another aspect. Billy the Mountain, his wife Ethel the tree. If anybody's a tree, it's Carolyn. Carolyn's a tree.
Yes.
She's a tree. All right. Okay,
well,
we got to get rid. I don't see how to find this place. Like, what do I? What's the name, Roxana? Montel?
She posted a link, Bob.
Link on the chat line.
Chat.
Okay, because I was looking there. Ah, okay. And we're going to find out how close to Nice and de Kerckhoff this is. It's amazing. I post all those McLuhan letters. No fucking response.
No one responds.
They're
yeah.
fucking ridiculous. Andrew McLuhan responded and said, "Oh look, that he's talking about that Life magazine article." So he had to put in what he knew. That was it.
Things that are known by everybody.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
There is no real discovery, no real exploration.
And my letter—they're not exploring what I'm offering. I give little titles to give McLuhan. What?
They're so boring.
That's right. They're actually very poor scholars, and they're a reason why you shouldn't have knowledge. They got knowledge, they're lost. I don't have knowledge. I don't know what I got, but it's not knowledge. I'm not going to get stuck with it. So I'm looking at the map, and it is sort of not near Nice at all. It's in the middle, landlocked.
Yeah. In Occitan.
Would it give, does it say any? Quercy, former province of Quercy. Let's see if they, Quercy gives a city. West by South Gascony, on the east by
Loup. It's more like near the Basque country.
Right. Auvergne. Well, that's a province. Auvergne. Yeah, it's like nowhere. Nothing stands out there. Okay, thank you very much. But now I've got to start playing the next part. Sam is demanding it. Sam has been following this as an amateur. Phil says, Chad must have learned something priceless as he has been on permanent vacation for over a year. He ain't on any fucking vacation, Phil. He's working his butt off for you guys. Working his butt off for all of you. He's not on vacation. Poor guy can't even show up here. He's like, you know, manager. He doesn't have any time off. Okay, so I guess, Roxy, you'll hang up. Now, this is going to be an hour and 13 minutes, and it's the next session, the following week or two later. So the last one was May 19th. This is 7 days later, May 26th. And there's a lot more goes on in this one than what you just heard. So, Bert, you'll be gone. You're not coming back,
yeah.
Right?
No, I won't be. I'll be mobile. I'll be listening in.
Okay, well, when you're mobile, you're listening. Is your wife hearing it?
No, I have my headset, iPod. I'm listening to my
iPod. You're walking around doing stuff.
Right, yeah.
And then you have to re-listen to it. Do you do that?
Yes, I do.
Well, are you...
It's really a project to go through because, like I said, 2 weeks ago, I started to see what Ion started talking about, the A, B, and C, and then also start to see the A2 and B2. But I have to actually sit down. I started to sit down to plot the second A1, A2, but I've got to really, like, put some time into that because it's pretty complex. So my goal is to go back from the start and get the key points that Ion is laying out to Nelson for me. I'm not trying to go into the Maybank and the money thing. I just want to be able to learn how to plot that out because there's some way I remember from the rewrite and Ion talking about that you want to pull that graph off of the piece of paper.
Yeah.
And then there was and there's also a hint that Ion has said in the rewrite that, I think he maybe heard it in Nelson, that you don't even need a piece of paper.
Right. So okay, very good.
A lot there. All right. Thanks, Bob.
All right. I'm muting you and Sean, and see you in an hour. We'll see you next week, Bert. And, I have a question.
I can be here until 1.
So yes, which will be 2 o'clock my time. So we can talk to you just before you go. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so let's start this. So you're going to hang up, right? You're going to hang up now.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. This is May 26, 2011.
Great.
This is a session with Nelson, recorded on May 26, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:14 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good afternoon.
Okay.
Hi, Ion. Well,
hey.
This is very excited this week to get to this session. I worked out all of my trigonometry associated with the justifying of the angles, so I'd love to work through one of the past, using the a past example of three closes and work through the whole formula.
Great.
So, And I want to focus on how the justifying of the angles affects it and what specifically it affects and that stuff as well. So we can skip through
within the brown cow syndrome, right?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Oh. Well, see, you're kind of going into graduate school now. So we no longer allow or put up with or play with the degrees of separation, who, what, when, where, how, and why. So when you have one of those askings, it turns into how, now, brown cow. So that's brown cow syndrome. You want to ask your questions without those degrees of separation. Otherwise, you may bump into a question pretty easily that is nebulous and can't be answered. Why was I born? How does the formula work? Where am I missing the point? Those outside separations limit your ability and capacity to, quote, get it. So ease into that. We'll give you a little break. It's not a problem. We're just easing you out of it so you can get into the fullness and the richness of this power that you have encapsulated so far.
Okay. All right. I don't want to get ahead of myself and try and address if there's any potential issues or what you really mean by that or whatever.
Well, what we really mean is don't start a question with who, what, when, where, how, and why.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay, great.
And if you do, we'll give you a little break, but they will ease you back into stating the question without those. And the reason being is because it's going to serve you so much better. Because every question you start without those degrees of separation may be answered, shall be answered, can be answered.
Fantastic.
It's great fun. It's this ascension business. It's great fun.
Okay, so I'm going to start by establishing my points.
Okay.
So establish the values of ABC. So GU is this is very exciting with now that I know the angles,
well,
how the angles
now,
involved.
Now back up,
I mean,
back up, back up,
thing.
Just a, back up, back up just a little bit. You've been practicing with it. Have you been hitting the marks?
I haven't been. I haven't been practicing with it because I don't know the relationship between the once I have the angles and the sign, the waves, and the different what I have to grab from the waves. Like in terms of now that I do the angles, if the waves, if anything about how the waves intersect between the triangle, if anything like that changes, and I want to talk to you about the C to the negative when I do C, and
the minus sine cosine of the angle of C.
Okay, and I want to do the way in which I place the new tangent, the new x-axis.
Also okay, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine.
So
you want to do
that
right now, or you want to go step by step?
I would prefer to go step by step.
That's all right, baby. We with you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And then, okay, so the odd CAD at one point. So right now I'm just drawing my triangle. And, you know, once you do it with the angles, you start to recognize the reason why you can do it freehand.
Well, no, not why you'd want to do it freehand. You want to have a sighted particulate to gauge. So, remember in school, show your work. Nelson,
yep.
Show your work. That teacher could give a shit whether you showed your work or not. All the teacher wanted to make sure is that you were doing the work, that the knowing was yours. And how you gauge and adjust and capacitate it, that's all been relative, you see. If you know
yes.
how to process, then regardless of what's going on, it's checkable. If you get the big picture, you can always check your work. So if you're within a thousandth of a pip, and then you could go back and validate where you're off by a thousandth of a pip, then it's a piece of cake. But if you start
yeah.
trusting some damn computer blah, 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 gobbledygook mess, you could get yourself crossways. You start making a couple $100,000 trade.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, you just got to, it's about being precise and checking and using different ways in order
by
to
this,
check your...
And by the visual, now look, Nelson, this is important. Because you're able to do the visual for the linear perspective, you have every capacitation to check it.
See, yes.
You can
exactly.
take A2 and validate A1. Well, if
yes.
you can prove A1 based on your established price of A2, sports fans, you're on to something then. See, because
now,
then it works.
When I plot the triangle, so when I actually put the triangle on the graph paper and plot my points, should I now find all of my angles? Like, should I do that right off the top?
It would be simpler. Now, because the way your mind works... We say certainly fine,
but fantastic.
Other people like to take all of A and complete A, but see,
okay.
they're not as linear. They're not quite as linear as you are. You'd like to know the totality of the angles that you're working with. So
yes.
the pro forma then is established. You're just validating your angles that you're working with. So
yes, exactly.
For you, we say, yes, it would serve you well to go ahead. But we wouldn't say that necessarily to everybody because some folks, you know, like to do one run all the way through.
Mm-hmm. So the way in which I've been getting the angles is I've extended the triangle. So I've extended a line from B all the way to the x-axis and made it a right angle triangle. Okay.
Good.
And then I've used tan to solve for angle A. So tan is opposite over adjacent. So tan A
is 10
equals...
If your value is 10 the value of your A?
Pardon?
Is A the value of A 10?
Tan.
T tan, not tin.
Not
good, because we were very nervous there, because we were like, okay, great, if A equals tin, good, but otherwise it's like, oh, tan, gotcha, very good.
So really, A equals C divided by A, not the angle A, but A really equals price C divided by price A, because it's opposite over adjacent. So,
but it's based on the, not on those plotted points. If as long as that justified plotted point is the angle, then certainly that's correct. And you would validate that when you drop your AB line segment back to your original XY axis as a right triangle. Then, of course, that plottable position would be right justified by C divided by A.
Perfect. So now what I do is I, so tan A equals, let me find this now. I mean, you got to make sure your calculator's in degrees, else you get screwed.
Yeah, see, that's just
I learned that.
It's just ridiculous. It's that's why we wouldn't even begin, because a couple other folks are doing this as well, and they would ask us, they would actually come to the position of, Ion, describe how to use my graphing calculator. And we go, well, okay, which one did you choose? And they don't know. And we're like, well, then we're supposed to help you figure out the graphing calculator that you don't even know or are not aware that is. Kind of, you see, if you can't get that, then you're kind of screwed. So
yeah, that's
you're exactly right. Because they all vary. And if you notice, the points that come from there will not necessarily apply because they're different.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, I'm not just kind of doing the calculation. Okay,
yeah,
so angle A is
39
degrees.
But they vary. But since you got the visual, you can double-check your work. So if you have the ability to do that, then all of a sudden it's euphoric because it makes no difference which particular programmed graphing calculator that you engage.
So A is 39 degrees. I did that, by the way. Okay, so my equation is basically tan A equals 0.811364, and then in order to get the actual degrees, you go tan to the negative 1 times 0.811364, and you get 39 degrees.
Okay.
And now, to get B, you first have to find the angle of the opposite angle of B, which I've been calling OB, and you do that by using tan again. So it's tan OB. Opposite is the 1.29858, 1.29858 over the B price, which is 1.0020. So tan OB equals 1.29858 divided by 1.0020, which equals 1.2960. So tan OB equals 1.2960. So now I've got to go second function, tan to the negative 1 times 1.2960 equals 52 degrees. So 52.34 equals 52.3460 degrees. So now I take 180. In order to find angle B, I take 180 minus 52.3460 equals 127.654 degrees. And then I take 180, 39.0545. So then I take 180 divided by, minus 180 minus 39.5, 180 minus 39.0545 minus 127.654 equals 13.2915 is the angle of C. So C is a pretty small angle. Okay, so I've got my angles.
Do they all add up to 180 degrees?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure
did
with,
you,
yeah, with the decimal points they would too, because I found C by subtracting 180
well,
by the A and B.
Okay, now easy trigger. The angle of C, based on your dropping of a right triangle, you've got to subtract the amount that B changes the angle from right to make sure it balances, because that means that you're still working with a right triangle, but your ABC is not a right triangle. So you have to make sure you get that angle exact.
Yes. This.
Got it.
I'll calculate the angle of
fine.
The right angle triangle.
Fine.
Just
fine.
Just to double check.
That's right.
So
that's
that.
Right. Now, wait, now, easy. Now, you're on point, but the reason we bring this up right here, Nelson, is if you had an aberrated triangle, let's say your values were queerly plotted.
Yep.
You see? An extraneous triangulation, then you'd really want to have, because it may come out to be that your B angle could be super large.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do you see?
Well, what?
You could have a B angle that's a minus.
Yeah.
So if that's the case,
okay.
Then all of a sudden that angular perspective could be vast. So that's the reason
we're
making sure that you're right justifying, you're taking and justifying from a right triangle to calculate the value of A and C, but then if you come back and subtract the differential between your x-axis and where B actually is, as far as capitulation regarding the actual angle itself. And you're fine, but you see why we're saying be very careful there to make sure you don't. Well, if you're off by a degree or two, when you start working your frequency and period, that can be vast.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's like a boat. If you're off by
okay.
1 degree, you'll end up in fucking Spain.
So I just added up. I calculated the angle for the little piece of triangle that makes it a right angle for C.
Good.
And I did that by taking 180 and subtracting 52, so angle OB, the opposite of B.
Now, wait
and
now.
90.
Don't use the subtraction to validate your position. You figured what – you calculated what the angles are. You know your first angle on a right triangle, the first is 90, correct?
Yes.
All right, and then you add the A and the C, and you should come to 180, should you not?
That's what I do. I come to 180.
Okay.
No matter what.
But
I
don't use your validation to substantiate your subtraction.
So you're saying
it's working. Now you're all right. Now that works all right for this simple stuff, but when you start getting it into the extremes, that won't be detailed enough. Because when you start talking about pips, you're talking about a thousandth of a point.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Don't find the angle by using the method to check.
Gotcha. That's exactly right. Because then your work will always balance.
Yes.
One plus two equals 100%.
You're right.
Three.
I should be using
3
the
divided
tan.
By 2 equals 1. Well,
I should
you're
be
right.
using tan for C too. I should
Good.
Be calculating. Yeah,
absolutely.
With
absolutely.
Okay.
And then when
so
you come back to gauge it, now you're going to be so close you won't notice. But what we're talking about the bigger picture. When you start pulling B4A4 tangents, that sloppy shit ain't going to work. See?
Yeah.
You want to get it very precise. And by saying this now, saves you much grief and disdain, because the bigger the triangle, the triangulation, the more susceptible the shifts are.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
So what I've got to calculate sorry, what I've got to calculate first is the total angle of C of the right angle triangle.
There you go.
So that would be that I could do opposite over adjacent because I know
same
those.
Way. That's right.
So C
same way.
Equals the opposite is basically A. So
good.
A
good.
Over.
See, now
A.
You get that because you're not
yeah.
using your calculation to validate your checking position. You've actually
exactly.
done function,
exactly.
and then when you rework that backward, then you get it both ways, and that'll help.
Yeah, I'm that'll doing help. A self-fulfilling prophecy here, which validates
right.
any check.
There you go. Now
yeah,
you're
which I don't want to do.
Well,
yeah.
that's right, because you'll convince yourself, but if you're off at all, you're off. At all.
Yeah.
Very good. You just saved yourself a lot of traction there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, this is definitely the way, the proper way to do it. Okay, so now I've got to go second function tan. Second function tan 1.2325 equals 50. Equals 50.9455. Okay, now what I have to do is use tan to calculate the smaller C and then take that away from the entirety of the C, right angle justified. Okay, so.
Because then you've compensated for the differential of the triangle that you created from your B, X, Y intersecting point in C. You have to subtract that from your calculation.
Yes.
See?
Exactly.
There you go. And that's easy to screw up because it's not obvious. It is now because we've talked about it. But it wasn't when you were in the throes of it, you see. And
yeah,
if you're close,
sure.
you know, close works great in the game of horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You can ping exactly. Darts.
Close works great. Whoever's closest wins, but you don't want close, you want precise.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so delicious.
Okay, so now I'm getting this angle. So 0.77161. 0.77161.
This is very exciting.
Yeah, I know it is.
0.77161.
Oh, shit. Tan to the negative 1 times. 0.77161 equals 37.6541. Okay, so now what I do is take that and minus it by the 50 number. So 50.9455 minus 37.6541 equals, bye, Julie, have a good night. Thank you.
Come back when you can stay longer.
So that's 37. So 13.2914. Wow, it's the same. So it's the same number as I had before.
Exactly. But now you're not. You know. See.
Yeah. Now you know it is.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because
beautiful.
Good. So and that won't catch you in the butt until you get when B is over plots over A and. And C is a minus point. I mean, it's just ridiculous of the things that can be.
Yep,
so this
exactly.
way, what happens, you now have a much better, easy checks and balance position.
That's for sure.
So
fantastic.
Good.
Okay, so that's going to be, that whole step is going to be my plot the triangle step. Okay?
Good.
Okay,
and now do it every time that way, regardless of any quadrant that your new juxtaposed position falls into. Because if you do that, because you had a question about the minus sine minus cos of C. Well, if you have that shift from something weird, your checks and balances will apply equally important there, more so than even here.
Okay. Okay.
Good.
So now I need to establish my B1A1 tangent. Now this is something that I understand how to do, but I don't